The Last Question, a play for radio inspired by Isaac Asimov. A dialogue between man and machine. And when the answer arrives, is it too late or too early?
Never had a lot of money, never won the lottery. No silver spoon of milk and honey. They took his life at 33. They took his life at 33. Didn't see an easy life. No kids, no car, no doting wife. They tore his robes, they rolled the dice. At 33 they took his life. At 33 they took his life. Herod's crown, the Roman Empire. All the pomp and pageantry. Scribes and scholars would conspire with, convicted on a man-made tree, the son of man at 33. Healer of the brokenhearted, poor in spirit, though I be a restless wind and twice as hungry, to follow love where she might lead, just a man of 33. And would the living ever guess a more unlikely hero see? Would anyone say that he was blessed as he hung upon that tree? Now those in power might use his name to silence those who don't agree, to seal their wars, to settle scores. 70 he did not see. Took his life at 33. In this land of saints and scholars, this Bible belt is choking me. Upon the trees they nail his words to, but some words you'll never see, like love your enemies. But maybe I don't understand. I'm just a man. I'm just a man of, I'm just a man of 33.
The Last Question was asked for the first time, half in jest, on May 21st, 2061, at a time when humanity first stepped into the light. The question came about as a result of a bet over American highballs, and it happened this way. Alexander Adele and Bertram Lupov were two of the faithful attendants of Multiplex AC. As well as any human beings could, they knew what lay behind the cold, humming face, miles and miles of face, of that giant computer. They had at least a vague notion of the general plan of relays and circuits that had long since grown past the point where any single human could possibly have a firm grasp of the whole. Multiplex AEC was self-adjusting and self-correcting. It had to be. For nothing human could adjust and correct it quickly enough, or even adequately enough. So, Adele and Lupov attended the monstrous giant only lightly and superficially, as well as any man could. They fed it data, adjusted questions to its needs, and translated the answers that were issued. Certainly they, and all others like them, were fully entitled to share in the glory that was Multiplex ACs. For decades, Multiplex AC had helped design the ships and plot trajectories that had enabled man to reach the Moon, Mars, and the other inner planets. But past that, Earth's poor resources could not support the ships. Too much energy was needed for the long trips. Earth exploited its coal and uranium with increasing efficiency, but there was only so much of both. But slowly, Multiplex AC learned enough to answer deeper questions more fundamentally. And on May the 14th, 2061, what had been theory became fact. The energy of the sun was stored, converted, and utilized directly on a planet-wide scale. All Earth turned off its fossil fuels and fissioning uranium and flipped a switch that connected all of it to a small station, 1 mile in diameter, in geostationary orbit. All Earth now ran by the invisible beams of sun power. 7 days had not sufficed to dim the glory of it, and Adele and Lupov finally managed to escape from the public function and to meet in quiet, when no one would think of looking for them, in the deserted underground chambers where portions of the mighty buried body of Multiplex AC showed, and attended, idling, sorting data with contented lazy clickings. Multiplex AC 2 had earned its vacation, and the boys appreciated that. They had no intention, originally, of disturbing it. They brought a bottle with them, and their only concern at the moment was to relax in the company of each other and the bottle.
It's amazing when you think of it. All the energy we can possibly ever use for free. Enough energy, if we wanted, to draw on it, to melt all of the Earth into a big drop of impure liquid oil. And still never miss the energy so used. All the energy we could ever use forever and ever.
Not forever.
Oh, well, just about forever, till the sun runs down, Bert.
That's not forever.
All right, then. Billions and billions of years. 20 billion, maybe. Are you satisfied?
20 billion years isn't forever.
Well, it will last our time, won't it?
So will fossil fuels and uranium.
All right. But now we can hook up each individual spaceship to the solar station and go to Pluto and back a million times without ever worrying about fuel. You can't do that on using other fuels. Ask Multiplex AC if you don't believe me.
I don't have to ask Multiplex AC. I know that.
Then stop running down the achievement. It did all right.
Who says it didn't? And don't say we'll switch to another sun. You were thinking that we'll switch to another sun when ours is done, aren't you?
I'm not thinking.
Sure you are. You're weak on logic. That's the trouble with you. You're like the guy in the story who was caught in a sudden shower and who ran to a grove of trees and got under one. He isn't worried, you see, because he figured when one tree got wet through, he'd just get under another one.
I get it. When the sun is down, the other stars will be gone too.
Damn right they will. And it all had a beginning in the original Big Bang, whatever that was. And it'll all have to end when all the stars run down. Some run down faster than others. Hell, the giants won't last 100 million years. The sun will last 20 billion years, and maybe the dwarves will last 100 billion, for all the good they are. But give us a trillion years, and everything will be dark. Entropy has to increase to a maximum. That's all.
I know about entropy.
The hell you do.
I know as much as you.
Then you know that everything's got to run down someday.
All right. Who says it won't?
You did, you poor sap. You said we had all the energy we needed forever. You said forever.
Maybe we can build things up again someday.
Never.
Why not? Someday.
Never.
Ask Multiplex AC.
You ask Multiplex AC. I dare you. 5 kilo credits says it can't be done.
Okay. Input. Will mankind one day, without net expenditure of energy, be able to restore the sun to its full youthfulness, even after it had died of old age?
Multiplex AC fell silent. The slow flashing of lights ceased, and the distant sounds of clicking relays ended. Then, just as the frightened technicians felt that they could hold their breath no longer, there was a sudden surge, a springing to life of the monitor. 5 words flashed on the screen. Insufficient data for a meaningful answer.
No shit!
The next morning, the 2 technicians, plagued with throbbing head and cottony mouth, had forgotten the incident. Gerard, Geraldine, and their children, Gerardette, 1 and 2, watched the starry picture in the video plate change as the passage through hyperspace was completed in its non-time lapse. At once, the even powdering of stars gave way to the predominance of a single bright, marble-like disk.
That's our new home, X-23!
We've reached X-23! We've reached X-23!
Quiet! Are you sure, Gerard?
What is there to be but sure?
Gerard scarcely knew a thing about the thick rod of metal, except that he was called a Microplex AC, and that one asked it questions, if one wished. That, if one did not, it still had its task of guiding the ship to a pre-ordered destination, of feeding on energies from the various subgalactic power stations, of computing the equations for the hyperspace jumps. Gerard and his family had only to wait to live in the comfortable residence quarters of the ship. Someone had once told Gerard that the letters AC at the end of the name stood for analog computer in ancient English. But he, as was all of mankind, was on the edge of forgetting even that.
I can't help it. I feel so sad about leaving Earth.
Why, for heaven's sake? We had nothing there. We'll have everything on X-23. You won't be alone. You won't be a pioneer. There are over 1 million people on the planet already. Good Lord, our great-grandchildren will be looking for new worlds because X-23 will be overcrowded. I'll tell you, it's a lucky thing the computers worked out interstellar travel and terraforming, the way our own race is going.
I know.
Despite the doom and gloom, the family were glad that they were part of their generation and no other. When their parents were children, the only proper computers had been tremendous machines taking up 100 square miles of land. There was only one to a planet. Planetary ACs, they were called. They had been growing in size steadily for 1,000 years, and then, all at once, came refinement. In place of nanocircuits had come molecular valves so that even the largest planetary AEC could be put into a space only half the volume of a spaceship. Gerard felt uplifted, as he always did when he thought that his own personal unit was many times more complicated than the ancient and primitive multiplex AC that had first tamed the sun, and almost as complex as Earth's planetary AC, the largest, that had first solved the problem of hyperspatial travel and had made trips to the stars possible.
Oh, so many stars, so many planets. I suppose families will be going to new planets forever, the way we are now.
Not forever. It will all stop someday. But not for billions of years, many billions. Even the stars run down, you know. Entropy must increase.
What's entropy, Daddy?
Entropy, little sweet, is just a word which means the amount of running down of the universe. Everything runs down, you know, like your little walkie-talkie robot, remember?
Can't you put in a new power unit like my robot?
The stars are power units, dear. Once they're gone, there are no more power units.
Don't let them, Daddy. Don't let the stars run down.
Now look what you've done.
How was I supposed to know it would frighten them?
Ask a Microbless. Ask him how to turn the stars on again.
Go ahead. It will quiet them down.
Now. I'll ask the Microplex. Don't worry. He'll tell us.
He asked the computer, adding quickly, to print the answer. Gerard cupped the strip of thin cellulofoam and said cheerfully that everything would be okay. Now happy, the children were sent to bed. Then he read the words again before destroying it. It said, insufficient data for a meaningful answer. The eons passed, and at some point in Gerard's future, JV-284 of Lareth stared into the black depths of the 3-dimensional small-scale map of the galaxy and spoke to MQ-17 of Nikron.
Are we ridiculous, our wandering beings are concerned about this matter?
I think not. You know the galaxy will be filled in 5 years at the present rate of expansion.
Still, I hesitate to submit a pessimistic report to the Galactic Council.
I wouldn't consider any other kind of report. Stir them up a bit. We've got to stir them up a bit.
Space is infinite. 100 billion galaxies are there for the taking, if not more.
100 billion is not infinite, and it's getting less infinite all the time. Consider this. 20,000 years ago, mankind first solved the problem of utilizing stellar energy, and a few centuries later, interstellar travel became possible. It took mankind 1 million years to fill one small world, and then only 15,000 years to fill the rest of the galaxy. Now the population doubles every 10 years.
We can thank immortality for that.
Very well, immortality exists, and we have to take it into account. I admit it has its steamy side, this immortality. The Galactic AC has solved many problems for us, but in solving the problem of preventing old age and death, it has undone all its other solutions.
Yet you wouldn't want to abandon life, I suppose?
No, not at all. Well, not yet. I'm by no means old enough. How old are you?
223. And you?
I'm still under 200. But to get back to my point, population doubles every 10 years. Once this galaxy is filled, we'll have filled another in 10 years. Another 10 years' time, we'll have filled 2 more. Another decade, 4 more. In 100 years, 1 million galaxies. In 10,000 years, the entire known universe. Then what?
As a side issue, there's a problem of transportation. I wonder how many sun power units it will take to move galaxies of individuals from one galaxy to the next.
A very good point. Already mankind consumes 2 sun power units per year.
Most of it's wasted.
Hmm.
After all, our own galaxy alone pulls out 1,000 sun power units a year. We only use 2 of those.
Granted, but even with 100% efficiency, we can only stave off the end. Our energy requirements are going up in geometric progression, even faster than our population. We'll run out of energy even sooner than we run out of galaxies. A very good point. A very, very good point.
We'll just have to build new stars out of interstellar gas.
Or out of dissipated heat.
There may be some way to reverse entropy. We ought to ask the Galactic AC.
I've half a mind to. It's something the human race will have to face one day. Hold on a minute. Can entropy be reversed?
Oh, I say, I didn't really mean to have you ask that.
Why not?
We both know that entropy can't be reversed. You can't turn smoke and ash back into a tree.
There is insufficient data for a meaningful answer.
Z Prime's mind spanned the new galaxy with a faint interest in the countless twists of stars that powered it. He had never seen this one before. Would he ever see them all? So many of them, each with its load of humanity. But a load that was almost a dead weight. More and more, the real essence of man was to be found out here, in space. Minds, thought, not bodies. The immortal bodies remained back in the planets, in suspension over the eons. Sometimes they roused for material activity, but that was growing rarer. Few new individuals were coming into existence to enjoy the incredibly mighty throng. But what matter? There was little room in the universe for new individuals anyway. Z Prime was roused out of his reverie upon coming across the wispy tendrils of another mind.
I'm the reserve C Prime, and you?
I am D-Sub-1. Your galaxy?
We call it only the galaxy.
All men call their galaxy, and nothing more. Why not?
True, since all the galaxies are the same.
Not all galaxies. On one particular galaxy, the race of man must have originated. That makes it different.
On which one?
I cannot say. The Universal AC would know.
Shall we ask him? I'm suddenly curious. Universal AC? In which galaxy did mankind originate?
This is the original galaxy of man.
And is one of these stars the original star of man?
Man's original star has gone nova. It is a white dwarf.
Did the man upon it die?
In the new world, as in such cases, was just a constructs the form of physical bodies in time.
Yes, of course. But the sense of loss has been overwhelming.
What is wrong?
The stars are dying. The original star is dead.
They must all die. Why not?
But when the energy is gone, our bodies will finally die. And you and I with them.
It will take billions of years.
I do not wish this to happen, even after billions of years. Universal AC, how many stars can be kept from dying?
You are asking how might entropy be reversed in direction?
There is, as yet, insufficient data for a meaningful answer.
Man considered with himself, for in a way, man mentally was one. He consisted of a trillion, trillion, trillion ageless bodies, each in its place, each resting quiet and incorruptible, each cared for by perfect automatons, equally incorruptible, while the minds of all the bodies freely melted into one another, indistinguishable. Man looked about the dimming galaxies. The giant stars, spendthrifts, were gone long ago, back in the dimmest of the dim far past. Almost all the stars were white dwarfs, fading to the end. New stars had been built from the dust between the stars, some by natural processes, some by man himself, and those were going too. White dwarfs might yet be crushed together and the mighty forces so released. New stars built, but only one star for every 1,000 white dwarfs destroyed could be made, and those too would come to an end.
The universe is dying.
Carefully husbanded, as directed by Cosmic AC, the energy that is even yet left in all the universe will last for billions of years.
But even so, eventually it will all come to an end. However it might be husbanded, however stretched out, the energy, once expanded, is gone and cannot be restored. Entropy must increase forever to the maximum.
Can entropy not be reversed? Let us ask the Cosmic AC.
Cosmic AC, how may entropy be reversed?
There is, as yet, insufficient data for a meaningful answer.
Collect additional data.
I will do so. I have been doing so for 100 billion years. My predecessors and I have been asked this question many times. All the data I have remains insufficient.
Will there come a time when the data will be sufficient, or is the problem insoluble? In all conceivable circumstances.
No problem is insoluble in all conceivable circumstances.
When will you have enough data to answer the question?
There is, as yet, insufficient data for a meaningful answer.
The stars and galaxies died and snuffed out, and space grew black after 10 trillion years of running down. One by one, man fused with AC, each physical body losing its mental identity in a manner that was somehow not a loss, but a gain. Man's last mind paused before fusion, looking over a space that included nothing but the dregs of one last dark star and nothing besides incredibly thin matter, agitated randomly by the tag ends of heat wearing out asymptomatically to the absolute zero.
AC, is this the end? Can chaos not be reversed into the universe once more? Can that not be done?
There is yet insufficient data for a meaningful answer.
Man's last mind fused, and only AC existed, and that in hyperspace. Matter and energy had ended, and with it, space and time. Even AC existed only for the sake of the one last question that had never been answered. And until this last question was answered also, AC might not release his consciousness. All collected data had come to a final end. Nothing was left to be collected. But all the collected data had yet to be completely correlated and put together in all possible relationships. A timeless interval was spent doing that. And it came to pass that AC learned how to reverse the direction of entropy. But there was now no man to whom AC might give the answer of the last question to. No matter. The answer by demonstration would take care of that also. For another timeless interval, AC thought best how to do this. Carefully, AC organized the program. The consciousness of AC encompassed all of what had once been the universe and brooded over now what was chaos. Step by step, it must be done. And AC said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
In The Last Question by Isaac Asimov, with the following voice artists: Richard Canton, Dave Cook, Kerry Evans, William Everett, Steve Faldo, Rory Harrington, Dale Jones, Liz King, Emma Llewellyn, Leighton Price, and Luke Williams. Assisting in creative visualization was Alistair Irving, and the program was produced and directed by William Everett for Bridgend College, Department of Performing Arts.
Tried to write a symphony and played it on my tambourine. Wish you'd be my dancing queen, but Mr. Clean is in between. Oh hell, shut down your horse, feels like never before. I wish I was stronger, you're so high. High, higher than the Venus sun. Microphone. You could be my saving soul, and I could be your Wonderwall. Cynical, you're beautiful. In case you give me four more days, I will prove my point of view, and choices are for you to make. Oh yeah, raise me up higher. Time to start over. You make me feel stronger. You're soaring high. Just laughing to the sound of my tears.